Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for your word that we have heard. And we pray that it may work within each of our hearts and minds and uncover or bring to light the truth that we need to hear, the challenge that you give to us, and the comfort you offer us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the latest issue of Christian Century magazine, former McGill religion professor Douglas John Hall has an article provocatively entitled "Against Religion." And he begins by saying, "On September 12, 2001, the following paragraph appeared in the British newspaper, The Guardian. Heretofore, many of us saw religion as harmless nonsense. Beliefs might lack supporting evidence, but we thought, if people needed a crutch for consolation, where's the harm? September 11th changed all that. Revealed faith is not harmless nonsense. It can be lethally dangerous nonsense. Dangerous because it gives people unshakable confidence in their own righteousness. Dangerous because it gives them false courage to kill themselves, which automatically removes normal barriers to killing others. Dangerous because it teaches enmity to others who are labeled only by a difference of inherited tradition. And dangerous because we have all bought into a weird respect which uniquely protects religion from normal criticism. Let's now stop being so damned respectful. Paul goes on to write, "The author of these words, Richard Dawkins, is frequently dismissed for his reductively atheistic pronouncements. But I believe that people of faith, any faith, need to take this particular pronouncement very seriously. Though it was inspired by a particular event involving a debased form of Islam, it applies just as cogently to religious fanaticism wherever it is found. And it is found in abundance, let us admit, on the North American continent, where it is usually associated with a type of Christianity that has become so dominant in our context as to be thought by many almost normative." How appropriate these words seem as we listen to the political rhetoric this past week after the Tucson tragedy. It would seem that the strident discourse and actions of politics have infected religion. Or perhaps it's the opposite. The strident discourse and actions of religion have infected politics. I often read blogs on the internet concerning political and religious events. And so many of people who comment on these blogs are saying, "That's why I don't belong to any organized religion. That's why I don't belong or believe in the church." The church is losing its sense of hospitality. When two men approached Jesus in our gospel reading today, they asked him, "Where are you staying?" And that was a loaded question. It wasn't just, "Where is the local space you are staying?" But where are you staying in your thinking? What do you believe? What is your mission? And Jesus, I think, responded to their question by issuing the invitation. come and see. Come and see not just the space where I'm staying, but come and see what I think, what I do, what I say. It was an invitation to experience His hospitality, to get to know Him. And there was no fear on the part of Jesus about whether they were righteous or whether they were good people. It was, come and see. Mark Rawls, in an article on our scripture reading today, writes, it was also central to the incarnation, the coming of God into humanity that we celebrate at Christmas. Through His promiscuous hospitality, Jesus reenacts the gracious being of the triune God. The Trinity calls into question everything we assumed about the structure of reality. We live not in a world of divisions ruled over by a supreme being, but in a universe tightly bound and called into being by the God who desires intimacy with us. Divine hospitality lies at the heart of creation, and it is also the source of our redemption. When Paul greets the church in Corinth, he does so in the name of God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. However, much of the church has taken its cue from society and created walls. 5 or 6 years ago, the United Church of Christ ignited a firestorm when they ran a commercial on TV that was banned by CBS and ABC. Church bells chime. Two muscle-bound men stand, arms crossed, in front of a Gothic cathedral. A gay couple approaches holding hands. Step aside, please, says the muscle-bound guards. They speak similar words to an African-American girl, a Hispanic man, a young man in a wheelchair. And then, just as we realize that these two men are church bouncers, the scene fades to black, and the tagline reads, Jesus didn't turn people away, neither do we. Now, it was a very pointed ad, and said some very profound and provocative things, and it certainly made the television executives worry about their relationship with the church, and especially the conservative church. The ad points to the open hospitality of Jesus, of the God who calls all people to be in relationship with God and with each other. The God who says, come and see. Currently, the presbyteries of the Presbyterian Church USA are voting on, among other things, whether or not to include the Confession of Belhar into our Book of Confessions. Now, this confession came out of the churches of South Africa during apartheid. I want to share some of it with you. I thought it was too late to use it as the confession for worship this morning. Christ's work of reconciliation is made manifest in the church as the community of believers who have been reconciled with God and with one another. That unity, therefore, is both a gift and an obligation for the Church of Jesus Christ. That through the working of God's Spirit, it is a binding force, yet simultaneously a reality which must be earnestly pursued and sought. One which the people of God must continually be built up to attain. That this unity must become visible, so that the world may believe that separation, enmity, and hatred between people and groups is sin, which Christ has already conquered. And accordingly, that anything which threatens this unity may have no place in the church and must be resisted. That this unity of the people of God must be manifested and be active in a variety of ways, in that we love one another, that we experience, practice, and pursue community with one another. that we are obligated to give ourselves willingly and joyfully to be of benefit and blessing to one another. The beginning of our Bible states that we were created in the image of God. That image is the image of love. That God created us out of love and created us for love. And that's what separates us from all the rest of created life on this planet. And yet, we have taken this vision of God, this image of God, and distorted it and debased it to the point that we love only those who are like us, those who agree with us. While our Lord said, come and see. Our passage from Isaiah is spoken during the Babylonian exile. And it's especially poignant, matched with our passage from John today. And in this week, listen again to the words that Deborah read just a few minutes ago. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. God said that not only to the prophet. God said that not only to Jesus. God says that not only to Andrew and to his brother Peter. But God says that to us as well. In our day, we need God-blessed Christians to stand up and speak words of hospitality to all of God's children, and not just those who share our same values. We need to say, come and see. We cannot let religious fanaticism, Christian or otherwise, have the last word, unless it's a fanaticism of hospitality. Our world, our country, our society is divided and it's hurting. They need people to start breaking down the walls and saying, welcome, come. This past Tuesday, the moderator of our denomination, Moderator Ballback, was at our presbytery meeting. And although she had to leave because of the weather before the worship service where she was to give the sermon, she left her sermon and one of our ministers shared it. Moderator Ballback used the story from Mark where Jesus is in a house preaching. The house and around it on the outside were packed with people. Four men came carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher. The paralyzed man wanted to see Jesus. But nobody would let them in. They couldn't break through the crowd. They were all so intent in their hearing and their judgment of what Jesus was saying, as he was judged by some of them who were leaders of the local synagogue. But no one would let the four people bring the man before Jesus. The four went up onto the roof and knocked a hole in the roof and lowered him down right in front of Jesus. Jesus forgave the man his sins and healed him. The moderator spoke of how many in the church are like those in the crowd. They won't let others get in for whatever reason. However, she said, the real church, the ones who will save the church, are those who will not take no for an answer and do all they can with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love and help others see Jesus. They will bring the people to Christ. They are the ones who will say, come and see. And make sure that the others have the opportunity to see. We call ourselves Christians. Are we? Are we willing to claim and share that identity with others, no matter who they are, what they are, what values they hold? In my opening illustration from The Guardian, from Douglas John Hall, who quotes The Guardian, Richard Dawkins says, Let's stop being so damn respectful. I would say to you, let's stop being so damn timid. Let's stop being so timid about who we are and what we believe. Let's stop being so reticent about saying to others, come and see. Let's get out of the crowd and start bringing the people to Jesus. If nothing else, the events of Tucson a week ago cry out for true Christian hospitality, especially for those who are mentally ill. And can we let that light shine through our words and our actions? For God's sake, for our sake, I hope so. Amen.